From my bubble to yours, ta alofa, kia ora, and welcome to the special Friends of Te Papa podcast today. I'm Rachel Yates, curator of Pacific cultures here at Te Papa Tongarewa, Museum of Aotearoa, New Zealand. The sounds that you heard at the beginning of this podcast are actually the sounds of a collective of Pacific women beating tapa. It's a very distinctive sound. I myself have only heard the sound live once, but I thought it would be really cool for you to get an idea of what the beating of that raw material sounds like. So tapa is also known as bark cloth globally. There are a variety of names in the different languages of the Pacific. In Tonga, for example, it's ngatu, Fiji, masi, and Niue, it's hiapo. It's a really fine cloth, and it's predominantly made from the bark of the paper mulberry tree, which is of the fig family. Strips of the bast are pounded flat, and then these sheets are felted together, and they can form one larger piece of cloth. So once dried, the tapa can be decorated, and it's often done so using local natural dyes. For example, Pacific women have used mud, turmeric, candle nut, and greenery like ferns. It's an ancient art and a very labour-intensive process. Over time, changes in the Pacific environment and massive social shift, such as the introduction of Christianity and goods and materials such as textiles, these things affected the rate of production of tapa across the Pacific. However, in saying this, as you may know, and as you may probably have seen, tapa is still produced today and actively used for ceremonial clothing, ceremonial exchange. They're used in wrappings of our deceased, as valued goods in the tourist market, and then they are also exhibited and displayed as artworks in institutions and private galleries globally. So as this is my first podcast, I want to share who I am with you a little bit more, give some context into the Pacific collection before getting to our focus today, which is Siapo and the three pieces we acquired for our collection early this year in January. So, Kuai Aho, who am I? I'm of mixed heritage of Pākehā and Samoan descent. Our family comes from the village of Vaisala in the Itu Asau district of Savai. I'm first generation, born and bred in Wellington, and I still live and work here with my family. Probably much like yourself, I've always had an appreciation for material culture and artifacts of history. Yet working intimately with them, let alone in the National Museum's collection, was not something that I can honestly say I had ever even thought about. My trajectory into this profession started with Pacific Studies. It's an interdisciplinary program at Victoria University, where I was fortunate to learn under the tutelage of the late Dr. Teresia Tewa, a formidable and generous teacher who opened up a whole new world. It was in her classroom where my passion was stirred, and I gained an appreciation of not only my own heritage and being, but the deep layers of the Pacific, and the wealth of knowledge and all the stories from Te Moana Nui Akiwa, our Pacific Ocean. Studying the Pacific for the Pacific is infectious, and in a way, I still do much of this alongside our communities as a curator of Pacific cultures. It's pretty special to work in a role where I am encouraged to learn, question, and critically explore culture. So I've been a full-time curator since July of last year, and I work as one of two of the Pacific curatorial team. Very briefly, a curator's role is to research. I curate for exhibitions and collections and work closely with our communities. Ultimately, I think our role is centered on advocacy. One of the best parts of this role is the platform we can utilize to tell Pacific stories and promote creatives. In 2016, leading Pacific curators in New Zealand banded together to publish their version of 95 Theses, Curating for Contemporary Pacific. Number 5 in this list states this: curating is a responsibility. Advocate for the communities you represent, or get out of the way for someone else who will. I keep this reminder close by on my desk, and it really does sum up how I feel. It's a perpetual reminder to do my best. The Pacific Collection itself has over 16,000 taonga from right across the Pacific region, including Micronesia, Polynesia, and Melanesia. The Pacific as a region has long been important to New Zealand. Prior to our heavy political involvement and trade in the region, there are also important ancestral links and connections with tangata whenua. Our current focus is on the contemporary, and for our collections to be inclusive of the growing, influential Pacific population here in New Zealand. If you haven't already, I really do recommend the back of house tours offered through your official Friends of Te Papa membership. Not only is it a sneak peek of what we have behind closed doors, but you really can get a sense of our shared history in the Pacific. So the highlight of today's talk is one of our most recent acquisitions, 3 stunning pieces of hiapo made by multidisciplinary artist of Māori and Niue descent, Cora Allen Wycliffe. Cora is based in Auckland, but these pieces were produced in Niue. So Niue is a self-governing country, and it's in free association with New Zealand. Among many other things, that means that the people of Niue are also New Zealand citizens, and it's about a 3.5 flight away from Auckland. Interestingly, it's one of the largest upraised atolls in the whole world. But examples of Niue tapa, hiapo, are really scarce. So many hiapo left the island on the ships of explorers, whalers, and traders in the 19th and early 20th centuries. And as a result of this, and as a result of encounter, Niueans adapted to different ways of thinking and living, and the priority and practice of hiapo production decreased. Despite this, though, hiapo continues to be a source of inspiration for work by contemporary Niuean artists, people such as John Pule and the collective Tupu Mayanga. They use popular motifs from hiapo integrated into their work. What's particularly exciting about the 3 pieces we acquired from Cora is that for the past 3 years, she has been an active maker of the tapa medium and harvests her cloth and dyes in Niue itself. As this is a recent acquisition and COVID-19 level 3 lockdown means we are currently not operating from within the museum, the hiapo has been registered and is housed in our collections, although it hasn't been photographed by our photography team. Basically, this means that it won't feature on our online database, but I do hope you are able to access the images that should be shared on this podcast's webpage. So what you'll see are the pictures that show the 3 pieces we chose for our collection. I think they're really representative of Cora's research and also her journey that she has undertaken as both an artist and Pacific person, learning more about her heritage. The large piece is titled Botanical Study and documents forms of the most popular plants in the ancient Huvalu forest of Niue. The 2 smaller pieces feature the taro plant, which is one of the most widely grown plants and can be seen all over the island, as well as the ata plant, another resource that is used in Niue to make hiapo. Another point of interest about Cora's journey particularly was that her research took her to Savai Samoa. It was here that she learnt how to make siapo, which is Samoan tapa, from maker Whaapito. This is really telling, I think, of the interconnectedness of the Pacific and particularly the historical links and unique influence of Samoan missionaries on the hiapo. It was in Savai where Cora gained knowledge about the tools needed, the harvesting and processing of plants, and also all the materials required. She was actually able to transfer and use this knowledge in Niue. Our collection of hiapo before Cora featured 6 pieces that were all provenance to the 1800s. These are stunning pieces and important taonga that carry our histories. They are important points of reference for researchers and the people of Niue. But being able to acquire hiapo made in the 21st century really adds value to our collection. When I think of Cora and the three hiapo purchased, these pieces embody a story of reconnection, reclamation, and reviving a cultural practice specific to her heritage and identity. To finish off this podcast, I'd like to leave you with some resources so that if you want to follow up on anything in particular, you can do so. Probably the most relevant book on hiapo was written by John Pule and Nicholas Thomas in 2005. The title of that book is called Hiapo, Past and Present in Niuean Bark Cloth. There was also a very recent article published online last year by Matilda Smith, and it's in an online journal called Unofficial, a Journal on Moana Art. And the name of that article is Reawakening Sleeping Giants. And that's an in-depth feature with Cora Ellen Wycliffe. Also, if you want to see more of Cora's work, you can head along to her website, which is Cora, C-O-R-A, hyphen, Ellen, A-L-L-A-N.co.nz. So that was Cora-Ellen.co.nz. Furthermore, our very own database, I do recommend you go and have a look at collections online. The site that you want for that is collections.tepapa.gov.nz. And there's a search function. You can type in hiapo, H-I-A-P-O. And there you can have a good look at the six from the 1800s that we have in our collection. We do have high resolution images on that database, and they are available for free download. I guess lastly, if you have any questions or queries, I'm definitely happy to help. You can email me at rachel.yates@tepapa.gov.nz. Now what I will do is I will make these links and my contact details available on the podcast webpage. So if you missed any of that, please double check there. Thank you for listening. Kia kaha, and be kind during these times. We got this. Whaftai te lelava.